Professionalism goes a long way. And I think professionalism is a lot more than just what you wear or what your aesthetic is for your brand. This is a type of professionalism that I am so passionate about, because no matter how you set up your business, what music you're playing, how you dress, what your aesthetic is, what's your vibe, this translates to any business type. This is the type of professionalism that I want each of you to have in your business.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hey, Lash friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Untamed podcast. Today, I'm sharing with you my client service documentation process. So these are all the forms that I utilize in my business and that I've seen work very well for a lot of stylists in the community to help protect the stylist and the client through the services. In addition, it helps you provide a good continuity of care from client to client and from service to service. So let's get right into it. This may be a quick paced episode, but as always, if you have any questions, we're only a DM or an email away. So to start things off, I want to go over the forms that I'm going to be reviewing in this episode. We have the client intake form, the policy form with credit card capture, of course, and our lash design form, and also a variety of different consent forms. I really do have consent forms for a few different services that I'll cover: eyelash extensions, waxing, brow lamination, lash lift, and lash and brow tinting. So all these forms are made to work in a system, and I highly encourage each of you to look through the paperwork you currently have and see if there's things that you want to adjust. Maybe I mentioned something in this episode that you would like to add in addition to what's on your forms. But either way, if you're not having forms yet, I do recommend and highly encourage you to start implementing this process in your businesses. Let's start with our policy form. We're going to start with the policy form, which also has a credit card capture on it. Now, when it comes to forms in your paperwork, just a general statement, I would have all of these reviewed by a lawyer. Not a lawyer, not legal advice that I am giving, just sharing what has worked really well for me in my experience and that I have seen other stylists implement that has worked well for them too. But as always, get your any legal paperwork reviewed, any contracts. If you're a little bit nervous on verbiage, you're not sure if it's going to work for your individual situation, get it reviewed by a professional. So without further ado, I'm going to get into this form. You can have your forms printed or digital. A lot of salon software, like Bagaro Pro, you can have your forms already in the system. What's really cool about this is it can email the forms to the client. They can complete them before the appointment, or even if they complete them once they get to your salon, it's all in one spot. You can pull up that client's record. You can see the forms. You can see all the notes. You can type photos in there. It's really, really powerful. I love that level of organization. You can also do the paper copies. There's nothing wrong with that. I would recommend keeping them in separate client folders, or if you keep it in one massive binder, just making sure that you're staying well organized so that your client paperwork's not getting mixed up with a different client's paperwork. As I said, the first form I'm going to talk about is the policy form, which has a credit card capture. I like this form because it sets the policies from the beginning. It's like, hey, here are the policies, sign this. Put your credit card on file, and I'm going to give you a copy of this too. And then this way, you're really just setting yourself up for success from the beginning with any mishaps that can happen throughout your service. So for example, let's get into this form. I'm going to read a little bit of verbiage from each of these forms to you, just to give you guys some ideas of what might work well for you. So at the top of mine, of course, I have my logo. I have the address, phone number, website, all of that. You know, you want your letterhead. For me, I think it looks very professional. I like to have that. Then I have client satisfaction is our passion. Due to this, we enforce the following policies. Thank you for your understanding. Please contact us with any questions or concerns to the stated policies. I start off by saying all sales are final and must be paid in full at time of service or purchase. Trying not to laugh. It happens. And I've definitely done this, and I'm pretty flexible as I can be, where a client may not be able to pay before they leave. However, I knew that that was a policy that I needed to have. You know, it does happen. And I'm sure some of you are like, oh, That has been a problem for me. And I know that this is a problem for a lot of stylists because I see that there is a portion of this industry that starts to take full payment before they even book your next appointment. So it's like you prepay for an appointment you're booking in the future every single time. Now that's very different than just taking a one-time deposit for a new client. They're, again, making you prepay for every appointment ongoing. So it's like you're already paid up for your next one. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. Don't get me wrong. But I think that if you set clear policies from the beginning, you might reduce the risk of this happening. But of course, have your policies that work for you. But I always say that if something is kind of annoying in your business or you're frustrated about something, it's a time to stop, self-reflect, and see, what could I be doing different to reduce this from happening over and over, right? That goes to like lash retention. If all your clients are losing their lashes, what is going on that's causing that? If all of your clients are not paying at their service, what's going on that's causing that? If all your clients are canceling, no showing, what could you implement to reduce that? How could you up your game? You know, sometimes we have to be very self-reflective in our business and look at it as if we were giving advice to a friend. A friend comes to you and they say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. What do you think? You would probably have like a list of ideas, right? We're all very quick to give our opinions sometimes. But when it comes to ourselves, it's sometimes hard to take a step back, look at our business from an outside perspective and see the things that we could tweak. So keep that in mind when it comes to how you want to mention your policy around the sales. Some people do a return policy on products. If you sell products, others don't. Some might do 7 days, 14 days, exchange only, or all sales final. So for me, I like the all sales are final. It worked well in a variety of different salons that I managed. And then also having my own, never had an issue with that verbiage, but tweak it to what works for you. Then I went into payment types. I think that's good. You guys, it's analytical, but setting it up from the beginning, telling you, highly encourage it. So we started with just a nice encouraging blurb at the top. All sales are final, must be paid in full. Put into the payment types that you accept. This is a great thing to do because if you don't accept checks, you can just mention that. You can talk about if you accept cash, credit card, are you doing payments through Venmo, Apple Pay? All of that can be included. Then I go into my policies that everyone's always talking about. Late arrivals, cancellations and no-shows, and how do I handle those situations? So late arrivals, I have a tolerance. We talked about this on a different podcast episode where everyone's tolerance for accepting a late client is very different. I didn't really have many late clients. And if you listen to that podcast episode, you'll remember that I mentioned a client who was always about 15 to 20 minutes late, always came in with an elaborate story. Every single time there was a reason, but that's just her. And then Cheryl shared a little bit about her experience as a client too with having ADHD and how if she sees that she needs to be somewhere at a certain time, she might see that she can fill that time with doing something before heading out. And so it happens, right? Why are we judging a client for always being late? Now, there's a difference in accommodating a client who you see they're consistently 15 minutes late. They're respectful of your time. Respectful of your time. They're still paying the full amount. They're okay with leaving at the time the appointment ends. That's one thing. But if you have a habitual late arrival client, every single one is late, every single one, and it's making you late and you're running late into your next client, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. So have a policy for it. If you're just getting going in the industry and you're just like, I really want to get clients in, I don't want to scare them off with a bunch of policies, you may find that having policies actually does the reverse. It makes people respect you and see that you are a serious business. And you're going to see as I go through this list, eventually we're going to get to actually the policies that you hold on yourself as a service provider. So it's not just all these policies that are like, the client is wrong. No, we're taking accountability too. So let me continue on. I don't want to get on too many sidetracks as I go through every bullet, but I want you guys to start thinking through all these different thoughts. I think it's the best way for us to grow and develop. So late arrivals. For me, it was if you arrive more than 15 minutes past your scheduled appointment time, we reserve the right to consider you a no-show. Business is not responsible for late arrivals. I'm going to say business in place of my studio name for all you listeners. So just keep in mind that's where you would put your studio name. Due to the nature of our business, we do not rush services or purposely run the next client late. In the event of a late arrival, you may reschedule all or part of your appointment, depending on the service type. So leaves it where we reserve the right to have you reschedule, right? We have the right to consider it a no-show and charge you. This is all outlined pretty well. Communication is key. There's a difference of a client who's like, oh, I am so sorry. I'm running 20 minutes late. I'm going out of town tomorrow. Can you just do a mini refill? I'll still pay you for the full refill. And there's a difference in a client who's not communicating and shows up 42 minutes late. Keep that in mind. There are always kind of exceptions to all the policies. You need to try to stay on track with your policies the best you can. So my best advice is write these in a way that you can stick to them 99% of the time, that you're not always bending your policies. You're not always making an exception. You're not always doing a one-time courtesy around them. So make it where they work well for you. So after late arrivals, cancellations and no-shows. So for me, it was cancellations received less than 24 hours in advance of the scheduled service time will result in a 50% charge of service. No-call, no-show appointments are subject to a 100% charge of the scheduled service. Pay attention to the verbiage, subject to 100%. I like that because I did like to give my clients a courtesy miss appointment if I could, depending on this case. Of course, I see a lot of posts and I completely understand where they're coming from, where they might be having, the client might be having something going on in their personal life or an urgency that came up, but there's this battle of being compassionate to that and also knowing that we need to pay our bills. We still have studio rent due. We still have to pay ourselves personally. And that's just, you know, money that we're missing out on. So again, these have to work well for you. And maybe if that client, no calls, no shows, had a situation, maybe you accommodate it with a 50% charge. You can be a little flexible if you want, or you can just be completely strict. The girl that I go to for my waxing is incredible, and she is extremely strict. You know, it does not matter how long you've been seeing her. Doesn't matter if you're friends. She is not going to steer away from that policy of 100% charge if you no call, no show. And she even does 100% charge if you cancel within 48 hours or need to reschedule. So it is a strict policy. Books are full. Clients are happy. So it's okay. You don't have to be very open-ended with your policies. You can keep them super tight and you can adjust these. I'm going to give some examples throughout. Next is account balance. Why am I laughing at it? Account balance. In the event the card on file is not accepted for the late cancellation or no-show appointments, then an account balance will occur. We require that all clients pay their account balance to zero before receiving further services. This is important. I see a lot of posts, we all have, of, well, the credit card got rejected. And then there's always the stylists who come in and say, this is why I make people prepay. My experience, this has not happened very many times. But if it is a reoccurring thing for you, this is when you need to consider, how are you handling your policies? You know, if you keep bringing in new clients, but then they keep no-showing, their credit cards are being declined, you're putting account balance on their account, they're wanting to rebook, but they're not wanting to pay off that balance, we have a big issue. Start putting the red flags up in the air. We need to really dive into what is going on in that situation. So if that sounds like you, that's something you want to dive into. Again, only a DM or an email away if you guys want to discuss or talk through that type of situation. These extreme situations, I think, are pretty rare. I'm starting to see them become more common, but they shouldn't be. I'm not going to keep getting on my soapbox about this, but if it's you, know that we are here to help. And also finding a good mentor who can dive into your business with you is a really good idea. Now that we've gone through and we've talked about holding the client accountable, here's a part that has always been really interesting, but has worked really well for me. And that is my appointment guarantee, where I'm holding myself accountable, right? You hear other business experts in the lash industry talk about this, where, you know, you sometimes will expect a lot from the client, but then maybe you're just kind of about everything. You're not holding yourself to a certain standard, but you expect the client to do all this work, right? We don't want to be that stylist who is expecting the world or the client, but then we're just doing the bare minimum. So I was able to give this appointment guarantee because I did not have to use it very often at all. And with this appointment guarantee, that if I ever needed to utilize it, many times my clients would say, you're amazing. I've been coming to you for years. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. So let's read this appointment guarantee for more clarity. If we at business do not offer scheduled clients 24 hours notice prior to necessary cancellations or rescheduling of services, we will credit the client's account with the amount of the appointment, which may be used towards future services or products. Then I do have an exemption in here of natural disasters and other situations may be excluded from the guarantee. We all know what happened with the pandemic a couple of years ago. So that would be something that would be excluded. But I do want to have a guarantee. I'm not trying to cancel on my clients or constantly reschedule them all over the place. I used to go into salons, and they would be large salons, small salons. Sometimes they would just be solo lash artists, and they'd say, hey, I need help with my business. Please take a look at everything going on. And it was always kind of a last resort before these salons or stylists were closing their doors. And I'm really passionate about that. One thing that I noticed is they would have issues with clients, and the clients were always doing all these different things, canceling, no showing, moving their appointments around. They couldn't keep good consistency. But often what I noticed is that they're seeing all this is wrong, but their staff or the way the salon was run is they were constantly trying to move people. So there is a difference in saying, hi, client, I had a 3 p.m. open up today if you prefer to come earlier. If not, your 5 o'clock appointment is completely fine. Please let me know which time you would like to come. There's a difference in that versus messaging a client and saying, hey, can you come at 3 today? Oh, you can't. Well, let's do 5 tomorrow. There's a difference in saying, oh, well, I don't really feel like coming into work today. I'm going to just move the first 4 clients of my day to a different day, or I'm going to just bump everyone down 2 hours. These things happen, right? But they should not be a normal occurrence. If every single week you're moving clients around, we need to stop. We need to pause. We need to see how to set up your business for success to have the client schedule where you can actually accommodate it with very little rescheduling on your end. So put an appointment guarantee in your policy form if you have clients sign one, which I highly encourage. I think it's a great way to build trust with your client, and it's a great way to hold yourself accountable. Moving on, we have appointment confirmations. This just says that all appointments are considered confirmed at the time of scheduling, that any confirmations are courtesy, and that you can choose to opt out of those confirmation text messages or emails. So that way, clients can't say, oh, I didn't receive my confirmation text. I didn't know about my appointment. That cuts down on that, because once it's scheduled, it's scheduled. It's not my responsibility to follow up with you and confirm appointments. Of course, I do like to confirm appointments. I love that Vagaro will send out text messages, emails. I can see on there if they haven't confirmed, and I may reach out. But over time, I've found that once you have good policies, you have a good client flow, you may not need to constantly reach out to them. The next bullet point is consultations and paperwork. So this just kind of mentions that consultations are complementary and essential in our cycle of service. Reviewing client paperwork allows us to provide safe, high quality, and custom tailored services. Consultations and paperwork will not be skipped or rushed under any circumstance. This is something that I've seen time and time again at salons too, is that they're rushing through the client consultation process because they're too busy. They have squeezed too many clients in, or they're not booking in enough time. They're not charging appropriately. Like, it just spirals out of control of everything that's not going right. So consultations and paperwork is crucial to making sure you're providing a good service. I think that's important to mention if you're the stylist who's like, oh, none of my clients want to sit there through my consultation. They don't give me time to really look at them to design their, you know, shape of the lashes. This is going to help you. If you really can stand strong as the professional and explain why it's important, that's part of your service, you cannot skip it, hopefully they'll be open to it and they'll start to see the value. Sometimes they don't know. You just have to educate the client. And then, of course, I have a children and pets policy. I just say, for your safety, relaxation, and the courtesy of other clients, children under the age of 18 are not permitted unless receiving a scheduled service. I have seen some stylists in the past who also include that there are no guests allowed. Like, they can wait in the waiting room, but they cannot be in the service treatment room. And I think that is an excellent policy to have. That's not included in mine, but it's great. I think that if I was lashing full time again, I would edit this policy to also include that. I don't always mind guests. Sometimes it's really fun. However, I know that if we're all laughing, we're all joking, the quality of service can suffer. There's no way it can't. We all know that if a client is just laying very still, resting, how much better our attachments are versus if a client's laughing, having a good time, and we're chasing fluttery lashes and trying to get them all attached. Of course, I have a pet policy in here. Just because I'm in the state of Texas, you're not supposed to have pets in salons. But of course, I do have an exemption for animals trained expressly for assistance under the Americans with Disability Act. Have that in there. Those are the only policies. I say only. It's probably a long list, right? But here are the policies that I have on my policy form. You can add more. Add more. I've seen salons that live in cities say that they are not responsible for, like, where you park if you get towed. So I've seen a variety of different policies. There's no right or wrong. Again, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast episode, if you're not so sure, but you think that you have some good policies and you need it reviewed, you can get a lawyer to look over it within an hour. And I think that that is well worth the investment of a few hundred dollars to have someone look at it. In summary, the policy form I have, cute little blurb at the beginning, letting them know I have policies. I tell them all sales are final. Payment types, late arrivals, cancellations and no-shows, account balance, appointment guarantee, appointment confirmations, consultations and paperwork, children and pets. At the very bottom, this is where they're going to be putting in their credit card, and that's where it's going to be captured and kept on their file so that if there is an issue, I can charge them accordingly. Then there's a little acknowledgement. You know, I acknowledge that I have read and agreed to the above policies. If I have any concerns, I will address these to the business immediately. I authorize business to charge the above credit card in accordance to this policy, you know, and it keeps going through and through. This section right here, I highly encourage you to look up what you should say based on your state, your country, your situation, but that will give you kind of a guidance as to what it might sound like. So it keeps going, then it's a spot for them to sign and date. Again, I give them a copy of this. That way they can always reference it. On to the next form. Stay with me. That one, I think it's a lot of interest. I don't know why. I think it's because it's really hard to set boundaries in our business, and we're always hoping this will help. It only helps if you talk strongly about it, and when a client asks a question, if you reference it. You can even sit down during your consultation and go through these policies. I had a copy of them on my website, so when people book, they could see them ahead of time. That way, there's no surprises. This also helped me kind of just like weed out clients that might not have been the best fit for me, or I'm not a good fit for them, because they may not want to come see someone who is more rigid on the policies, right? They might want to bring their dog every time. And I just, unfortunately, I can't have that for my business. And I love dogs. We all know this. So, you know, speak as an expert, set yourself up for how you want your business to run, and you will attract the right clients that are going to respect you and that you have a mutual respect for as well. On to the next form, client intake form. This is a really cool form because it's going to help you learn a bit about the client's like health history and also their daily activities. All this information is important so that you can assess if the service you're providing is a good fit for them. And so you can take special precautions or considerations depending how they fill this out. So my intake form starts with like the normal name, address, city, you know, date of birth, all of that. I do get an emergency contact name and phone number just in case. I have had a situation where I did need to pull this information, and it actually wasn't because the client was seeing me. This is when I worked in a salon suite with a couple staff members, and this client was seeing a hairstylist. She had a medical emergency. I don't want to get into it too much because I don't want it to be traumatizing or triggering because it was really sad, but everyone's coming around, everyone's trying to help, and I instantly, they couldn't get into our phone, they didn't know, and I said, I have her paperwork. So I just ran in there, got the emergency contact, called her husband. Client's completely fine, everything turned out okay. However, it was very scary because everyone wants to reach out to a loved one and they weren't able to. So, you know, you never want to use it. Once in a decade, I've had to, and I'm happy that I had it, and I was able to support a hairstylist who didn't have that information gathered. This is a hairstylist who is really well organized. She had her client intake form, she had her policy form, she had her everything, you know? She was really well set up, but she didn't have that detail on her paperwork. So don't overlook that detail. After the emergency contact name, I have a how did you hear about us? Because we want to see where our marketing efforts are best spent. Of course, like you need to gather this information. So always try to understand how a client heard about you. If they were referred by one of your clients or just maybe someone you're networking with, you can also thank them. I have a section on here that says, may we thank them? Because privacy is important. So if a client was referred by someone, they may not necessarily want that someone to know that they are now coming to see you, right? So this is another level of care that you are providing your client. It's subliminal, it's tiny, but they are going to pick up on these tiny factors, and it's really going to provide them a safe space that they're going to feel comfortable coming to you for services every 2-3 weeks, routinely for years and years and years. Next, I get into some common questions. Do you wear contacts? Are you wearing them today? Are you pregnant? Are you on a special diet? Do you exercise? I have more verbiage after each of these points, but sometimes it's explaining why it's important that I understand this, or it's just clarifying a little further. Then I get into kind of history. In the last 4 weeks, have you had any surgeries, infections or wounds, medical treatments, retin-A, Accutane, or similar product used on the skin? then I have them explain. Depending on the service you're doing, as you are a well-trained professional, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that there are contraindications and they need to be addressed. And I like to have them documented on the paper. That way we can always reference back if something goes wrong. Next, I have them list their current skincare routine. This helps me just make sure any products I'm using are not interacting with any active ingredients of their products. What is their current makeup routine? This helps me a lot, especially with eyelash extensions, to understand just how much makeup this client might wear on a day-to-day basis. Of course, you can wear a full face of makeup. That's not a problem when you're receiving eyelash extensions. I just need to be aware of it. I need to make sure I'm getting you set up with the tools to properly remove that makeup. And I'm teaching you how to maybe apply the eyeliner now that you have to avoid big, beautiful lashes, right? Sometimes that's a little tricky. So again, continuity of care. We're providing a better quality service than a lot of other artists may be doing. And we're protecting our business, which is important. Next, that was just the front page. There's a back page to this. I tried to condense this form to only front and back. And you know, it's got a good size font. There's plenty of space to write notes. So it's not excessive. All this paperwork I'm mentioning, most clients will spend probably about 7 minutes filling it out. Some might spend 10 to 15. Those are the ones who are really being analytical. They have a lot of questions or they might have more information that they need to disclose. Other of your clients, they're going to check this off very quickly because they don't have anything to say. They're just like, no, straight down the page, but I still go through and I confirm with them during the consultation process. So now we're on the back of the form. I see if they've ever experienced an adverse reaction to a beauty treatment. I ask them to include reactions to any beauty service, skin, nails, hair, makeup, waxing, anything, because you just want to understand. You know, I had a client once who she can't color her hair anymore. If it gets even a little bit on her skin, oh, it's bad. It looks like she has like a huge chemical burn. So she definitely has a reaction. It's something that I wanted to be aware of. Am I putting hair color on her? No, but this tells me that this is a client that is sensitive. So I need to be using cautions. Maybe I need to do a test set, or maybe it's completely outside of my comfort zone and I need to refer that client out. Next, I go over allergies. I want to know if they have allergies to any tapes, bandages. Are they allergic to Dermabond, long-lasting waterproof cosmetics, all these different ingredients. I have a whole list here. And then I just have them talk about any allergies or sensitivities they have in general. Know how I just mentioned that some clients go through and put no to everything on the form? I still check in on these questions, especially the allergies, because once I ask again, there's been plenty of times a client said no. Then I ask during the consultation, all of a sudden they have three or four things they need to mention. I just explained to them that it doesn't necessarily mean you can't get eyelash extensions, but I might need to use a different under eye patch on you. I might need to use a different cleanser. You know, these are things that I just need to know to make sure I'm providing you a great service. Easy as that. Then I go into understanding if they're on any medications and any side effects those medications may have. For example, I had a client once whose eyes just had kind of a yellowness to them, and that was just a side effect of the medication she was on. I also want to understand if it's a client who uses a lot of eye drops or is dealing with any type of hormonal issues. Not a doctor, but I do understand that these things can affect the way that the hair is growing and shedding. After that, I try to see if they have any common conditions. You can put whatever you'd like on your list. Claustrophobia is a good one. Back pain is a good one. Let's see, sensitive eyes, sensitivity to light. Are they acne prone? Do they have rosacea? So a lot you can put on this list. This list is quite long. It's actually 4 columns, pretty condensed, but goes over common things that as a stylist, I know that I would need to accommodate to. So if they're claustrophobic and they have to keep their eyes closed for the whole appointment, you know, there are things you can go around. So I had a client who had an elevator accident, which I can't even imagine. She's trapped in one for a very long time. So for her, it was very difficult to relax. I realized that what I needed to do was only put a patch on one eye and lash one eye at a time. And she wanted to open her other eye or just sit up from time to time throughout the appointment. That's completely fine. Here we are 10 years later. I still have this client. If you've known me for a long time, you probably know her name because she is just like iconic to me. And now she falls asleep. There is no problem. You put both patches on, but she just needed to overcome that. So these are not necessarily red flags that the client cannot see you. You just have to determine, are you going to be able to accommodate that? Or is this just not a good service for them? When it comes to sensitive eyes, kind of dig into that more. What does that mean? I have sensitive eyes, you know, very sensitive at times, and especially to light. So you cannot put any light over me and turn that thing all the way up. It is not great. It might trigger a migraine or a headache on someone else, which you could also put on this condition list. Anything that you should be aware of as a stylist. You could even put something like often dizzy when sitting up. This will tell you that when your client goes to sit up, you should be there. You could have them keep their eyes closed, let them sit up, let them get their bearings before they open their eyes. And it might tell you that you might want to have a bottle of water ready or a snack for that client. Just tiny touches. You see where I'm going with this? All of this stuff really does tie in and relate to our services if we start thinking more intuitively about what we're doing. I also like to go into just understanding if they're being treated by a physician for any type of injuries. Reason being is, let's say that a client's coming in and they just had a broken foot. Poor client. She had a broken foot, it healed, then she broke it again, then it healed, and then she had to go in and get the plate removed that they put it after surgery. She was going through it. And that was interesting because, you know, she had her boot, which was pretty fine, but she couldn't put any weight on it. So then, you know, getting her up to the bed had a little bit of a challenge for it. People could be being treated for a variety of different situations. I can think of many examples, and you just want to be aware, right? We're not doctors, but we do need to understand if we need to help the client. Do I need to bring an extra pillow in for this client? What can I do to really accommodate them through this service? Or am I very uncomfortable to take this client and I want the doctor to tell me it's okay? Or even if the doctor tells me it's okay, am I still uncomfortable and I'm going to turn this client away? That is also acceptable. I know there's a lot of advice that says, get a doctor's note. But at the end of the day, think to yourself, if I got a doctor's note saying it's okay, do I still feel comfortable to work on this client? And if you don't, again, it's totally fine. You know, some of this might feel a little over the top for you and it might feel overwhelming because maybe you weren't set up from the beginning going through this process. Whereas I had that opportunity to go through a very similar process to what I still use for paperwork from day one. I was doing these things. So it just naturally built my skill that way. But if you've not been doing it, what I find is when I give this to someone who hasn't been doing it, it can be a lot. It is a lot of studying you need to do. It can be overwhelming. But you'll find more often than not that you don't have tons of clients who come in who need that extra special care. That makes sense. We're caring for them, of course. We're giving them a great service. But all those extra moments that I've mentioned, that's not going to be your normal. And if it is, you're probably going to get really good at handling it, which is just making you stand out even more. I definitely have had stylists refer clients to me because they're just not able to accommodate things that I would find to be very intuitive and simple. But then again, I might refer a client out because I'm like, oh, this is too much for me. And then that same stylist who referred me someone might be perfect fit for them. So that's also really cool. I'm not going to get off on a tangent about building a community around you, but I think it is important, even if it's just one or two stylists, just so that you guys can network and you can send clients between each other, because we all know that not every client's for us. And it's hard to always admit that we're not the stylist for every client. And not only because we have our business to a certain degree, but sometimes we're truly just not the fit for them. No matter what we do, it's never going to work out. So I'd rather send that to somebody that I know does good work than to just send that client off in the abyss. Oh, that's funny. Off in the abyss. And then my last question on this form is, anything else I should know to make your experience more comfortable? I like this because then this is what it might come up that they don't like a certain scent. This might come up that they don't like a certain type of music, or sometimes I've had clients disclose kind of triggers to them, and I'm very thankful when they do. Not everyone will, but it's very nice to know what they need to be comfortable. On to the next form. So far we've done our policy form and our client intake form. This client intake form I review with them, and it ties into how I'm going to perform the service, what products I'm going to use, and then I can start talking about design. So I've gotten all that out of the way. I know what I'm doing, kind of have a good idea of what, you know, could happen during the service. I'm feeling confident. Time to design. Not going to go all into design on this podcast episode, but take the time to design, understand how the client's lifestyle is. What are they doing maybe for work? What is their day-to-day looking like? Personal life? What are their favorite hobbies? And just really meet that expectation. From here, I have a lash design form. I'm sure you might have one similar, but it has the client's name, and then I document all their natural lash criteria. I also tell them, and this is coming up in the actual consent form for the service, and it's not in my policy form, but you might want to put this in your policy form. I don't know. This is up to you, but I document their natural lash length and I take photos. Now, these photos I have to take for documentation, but just because I take it for documentation, that is a different photo type than posting. A lot of my clients did not want to be posted, and I am going to respect that. But I need to keep photos on file because let's say they've been getting lashes for a while. This has happened to almost all my clients. At one point, they say, you know, I'm wondering, my natural lashes, like, are they damaged? I kind of saw them and they just don't look as good as I remember. Well, here's what happens. You see your natural lashes and they are what they are. You wear extensions. After you wear those for so long, it's almost like your extensions become your new natural lash. And that's what you're used to seeing. So you forget that your natural lashes were not the same as your extensions. The photo documentation, the written documentation of the measurements you're taking can help you in those instances because you can pull up the photos, you can pull up the documentation, and you might have a moment where you're like, oh no, they are getting worse. That's a great moment for you to check in, scale back that design, right? But oftentimes, if you're doing this every appointment, being mindful of this, when a client comes to you, you're going to be able to pull up a photo from any timeline they've seen you, and you're not going to see a change in the natural lash health. That's pretty cool. Another thing to consider is that health changes. When you've had a client for a long time, you know, I mentioned one of my clients who's been with me for 10 years. I actually have another one who's been with me for 10 years. Both of their health is different. So, I have three clients with me now that have been with me for 10 years. That's so flattering. I love this. But their health has changed. One of my clients is like in her 80s now. So you can imagine things have changed. Another client, she was diagnosed with being diabetic a long time ago, but it got much worse. And she's actually turned to a different type of diabetes. She has other health complications. And because of that, her natural lashes have changed. The hair on her head has changed. Her skin, everything has changed. And that doesn't have to do with the fact she's been getting lashes. So keeping your intake form updated, I like to get mine filled out once a year, but I tell the client if anything's changed, that we'll fill another one out whenever they need to. And then just documenting. That way, if there is a change and I say, oh, you know, I realized that you mentioned you're on a new diet. I'm wondering if this has played a role. Like you're not taking in any B vitamins anymore. You're not taking any protein. You never know. So definitely document. I can't get over that enough. I'm sure you guys are like, move on. I got it. I'm going to document. I hope everyone listening does document. So we're documenting those natural lashes. Not only are we measuring and writing it down, we have our photo evidence too. Then we're getting into just talking about our actual design. So I'm documenting the design, I'm drawing out what I'm doing, and then at the end of the service, even if the client's happy and loves them, I might make a few notes of adjustments I want to make next time. There's those adjustments you want them to lay back down real quick and just like remove an extension that's sticking out wild. But then there's the adjustments that are really nitpicky. It's still a beautiful set. You're not doing anything wrong by letting the client leave with that set, but you know when they come back, you might want to do a little shorter on the inner. You might want to do a little bit more curl on the outer. Those are the type of notes I write for next time. I also document the adhesive I'm using, any cleanser, primer, patches. So with the adhesive, I also document the humidity and temperature. This is just so that I can see like correlations to the retention my clients have. Oftentimes we know that if our humidity is not where it needs to be, that our adhesive may fluctuate in how it performs. And, you know, as you're becoming a more experienced artist, you're going to learn more and more on how to make those micro adjustments of picking up less adhesive, more adhesive, how to attach differently to get really good lash retention. So with this data, you're going to be able to look back and find similarities and really understand why some clients have poor retention, why some have more. And you can look at that from what's your humidity like when you're lashing them. You can look at it from what is their natural lash type, what is their eye shape. And you're going to start to realize that maybe certain lash types are more difficult for you to attach to. See? So this documentation, if you use it properly, again, protects you, the client, helps you invest back in yourself at being a better lash artist. Love to see it. The next ones are our consent forms. I mentioned that I have a few consent forms, and it depends on what service you got with me or my staff. I did have a whole skincare form set. So if you do skincare, that's like a whole different thing. If you do microblading, permanent makeup, whole different paperwork. So the paperwork system that I'm talking about today that I used, it was for the services of eyelash extensions, waxing, brow lamination, lash lift, and lash and brow tint. So there's different waivers for those services, and they're all pretty similar, where it says, although every precaution will be made to ensure your safety and well-being before, during, and after your application, please be aware of the possible risks below. And then I have all the risks and I have them initial them. So simple things. So for tinting, I might talk about how it's possible that it will stain the skin. I talk about how we take precautions to get the color you want. Sometimes there may be a variance. Oh, just talking about the aftercare, you know, any main points that you want to put in there that you want a client to really read, understand, and remember. So for lashes, let's see. I understand that there is some potential risk of receiving this service. I understand it's my responsibility to remain still during the appointment. See, you can put whatever you want. You could even put, I know some stylists don't want their clients to talk. You could put that in here, that they need to remain silent throughout the application. However, if they are feeling something uncomfortable, they need to let you know, right? Don't be so strict in the no talk policy that your client is afraid to talk to you if something is itching, burning, uncomfortable, or if they need to get up and use the bathroom. Oh, I put in here that if something gets in their eye, I may have to flush their eye, just so that they're aware that I know how to handle any situation that comes. And I mentioned that it's rare that these things can happen. I like this one. I talk about that the natural eyelashes have a growth cycle and that they grow and shed. That receiving consistent refills is important to maintain the appearance and protect the integrity of their natural lashes. So even if their lashes are still very, very full, doesn't mean that they can always go forever. Now, we love 3 to 4 week retention, but I wouldn't go beyond that depending on how fast the client's natural lashes grow. I have one client who she never sheds her lashes, it feels like. You know, she has really good retention. However, even when she comes back, they're actually really far grown out. And so I need to take a lot of those off and replace them. If I don't, and this has happened, and she waits until they start to actually shed off or fall off, she has some damage. And why is that? What is the difference of her coming in often for refills or waiting till she sees that they need refilled? Is that when they're grown out, they can become top heavy. They could twist, they could tangle. You know, they're a little bit more difficult maybe to take care of. So she could accidentally tug on them, pull on them. Or again, that top heavy, that extra stress on the hair follicle we don't want to see. So I like to have clients come back just so that I can maintain a good consistent look and remove anything that is outgrown. I put in here what I recommend for maintenance. You can also put in your consent form that after so much time, it is considered a new set. That's something that I don't have in here, but I know is a struggle for many stylists where the client comes back and they're like, oh, it's a refill, but they have like 10 lashes left per eye, or they actually have 40 per eye or 60, but they're also grown out or they're leaning and they have to be removed anyway. So you could define what is a refill versus a full set in your consent form. Then this is where I get in here saying that they need to take before and after photos for documentation purposes. And then there's a separate one where they can sign off on me using those photos for my portfolio or any advertisements. That's just a good legal protection for you. Then it goes down into like your general blurb of like, I read this. If I have concerns, I'll address it with the business. And then I put in here that they accurately answered the questions on the client intake form, right? So here's what can happen is they go through the client intake form, they say no to everything, they sign this waiver, and then all of a sudden there's some issue. You know, you tint their eyebrows and then you learn that they're allergic to hair dye. I don't know. Anything could happen. And then they're like, oh yeah, no, I didn't think it was a big deal, but they didn't document it. But they signed on this consent form that they shared everything openly with you on that intake form that you asked. See how this can help cover you and protect you and your business? This is something that gets me good insurance rates for my business, good protection, because they see the paperwork I have and they appreciate that. They are happy to cover my business and give me really good coverage and be there on my side because they see these extra precautions I'm taking that cares about them and really is doing their due diligence to do so. Let's say you went to a medical spa and you were getting Botox or filler and they're not having you sign any paperwork. Now, of course, we're thinking, Anne-Marie, that's different. That's Botox and filler. But these other services can be damaging too. Right? You know, professionalism goes a long way. And I think professionalism is a lot more than just what you wear or what your aesthetic is for your brand. This is a type of professionalism that I am so passionate about because no matter how you set up your business, what music you're playing, how you dress, what your aesthetic is, what's your vibe, this translates to any business type. This is the type of professionalism that I want each of you to have in your business. So to wrap this up, after the client signs that consent form, I do have different consent forms for the different services. It can be redundant. I did play around with different ways to try to condense this, but it was a little tricky. So see what works for you. I do have one again for all those different services. So if a client's coming in for, let's say, brow lamination, lash lift, brow lash intent, that's actually 3 different consent forms that I have, but you may condense that all into one. That's up to you. But if you're using an online booking system like Figaro and you're doing your paperwork on there, it's pretty easy to just kind of click through what you need the client to fill out. And then it's not as long or redundant because you can select the services for that paperwork and kind of customize it that way. One last thing that I want to mention on the consent form is I do put down here that I acknowledge this agreement within a year from the signing date. So that means you just need to have it re-signed once a year. The aesthetics industry often likes to have you sign every single appointment. You can do that. That is completely fine. Again, getting professional legal advice on what works best for you is always a good option so that you can make sure you're well protected and staying in touch with your insurance company. So you should have insurance on your business and protect you as a stylist. So talk to them too. They'll give you good guidance as well. So I hope this helps. This is the paperwork and client documentation for the services that I use. I also use this so closely with Figaro Pro where I document, well, I say a document, it naturally does this for me. It shows me what services the clients had, what date, how much money they've spent with me, when did they buy their last product. All of that different information is all in each client's profile in that system. From there, I can also pull reports and I can see who hasn't signed their paperwork since a certain date, who hasn't bought products since a certain date. I can see all of this different analytics and data, and that can just help me provide a better service and make sure that I'm going to say it again. The continuity of care is huge. And then this continuity of care leads to a continuity of money coming into your business, which we love to see it. That way that we can all live the life that we are envisioning and set up the successes that we want to achieve that are individual and unique to each of us.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.